Blog Talk Radio.
I don't mind working, counting from sun to sun. I don't mind working, counting from sun to sun. When I want my money, counting when payday comes.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
I don't mind working, counting from sun to sun. I don't mind working, counting from sun to sun. When I want my money, counting when payday comes.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Don Todrin here from Second Wind. Glad to be here, despite this huge snowstorm that we almost got. We ended up with 5 or 6 inches. That's not bad. All right, so what are we talking about today? So in the last couple of weeks, I've been expounding on my new plans for the year to help stressed businesses succeed. It's always my vision, saving families one business at a time, saving jobs, saving the business. That's my goal. And while we certainly are committed to debt workout, we've been talking about our turnaround program, our four pillars program, and now I've been engaged in capital formation, creating lending opportunities so that businesses can succeed. And that's all good. But you know what? The heart and soul of our business is debt workout, debt forgiveness. And, you know, I had a chat with a man and a woman that own a small business this morning. They make, well, it doesn't make any difference what they make. They do a couple of million a year, and they're stressed. They're dealing with the government, so it's feast or famine. You know, orders are canceled, orders are made, hurry up and deliver, don't deliver. I mean, it's crazy. It's hard dealing with them. It's hard unless you have a huge bankroll and you can afford the ups and downs. So when I explained to them my program, I could hear that they were reluctant, man. And finally, you know, they broke down and said, "Is this legal?" You know, which is a great line. And what if it doesn't work? And what do we do then? We're in a worse position. I explained to them. I said, "Look, let me help you here because it's very legal. This is what is done. It's called an asset sale. That's the basis of it. Stripping off the debt. Look, you can buy a business by buying the stock of the business, the equity in the business, and then you own everything that they own. You just step into the shoes of the previous owners. And that's certainly one way to do it. But probably the most often done transaction in acquiring a business is an acquisition of its assets. And this is done for a very specific reason, because it leaves the debt behind, and it leaves surprises behind. It leaves issues that the seller didn't disclose behind, lawsuits, employee issues, whatever it may be. Because you're not buying the business. You're buying the collateral, the assets, the equipment, the inventory, the receivables, the name even, but not the business. Now, this is one of these, you know, legal fantasies. But the reality is you are buying the business. That's the reality. Business doesn't stop operating. So obviously you're buying the business. But by structuring it as an asset purchase, we get to leave the debt behind, because we're only buying the tables and chairs, not the entity which owes money. It's a fine line, I know, but it's very real. In this conversation, it went like, well, I mean, what's the bank going to say if they discover what you've done? And I say, discover? We're going to tell them. We're extremely transparent, because what we're doing is the most honorable approach possible to debt, uncontrollable debt, unsupportable debt. There's no better way to deal with it. Look, you can always file a bankruptcy, and there's nothing wrong with a bankruptcy. It certainly serves a purpose. And out of that bankruptcy, it's expensive. And if you're attempting a Chapter 11 to keep the business alive, it's very expensive, very time-consuming. You have no control of what's going to happen. And the likelihood is extremely high, in the 90 percentile, that your small business is never going to survive a Chapter 11 petition. It'll be converted to a 7 and liquidated. And it's really very simple. It's an automatic. Because the bank, the secured party bank, has a right to be secured. And when you're filing a bankruptcy, the odds are that your business is no longer worth the value of the debt, that your assets are not worth the value of the debt. Therefore, the bank is now unsecured. And the bankruptcy court will not require a secured loan to turn unsecured without giving the secured party an opportunity for redress. And what that means is that the bank has the right to file a motion to lift the stay and liquidate their collateral, because they're unsecured now, because the collateral is not worth the debt, and it's their option, their right to do that. Well, there's no defense. You know, there's no argument. It's pretty much a slam dunk. That's it. So you file your 11, you put down your pile of cash, and a month later you lose everything, including the business, and you're in 7, and you're getting liquidated because you got converted. No, that doesn't work. No question about it. That does not work. It also costs the bank just as much as it costs you. Their attorneys have to be in attendance. Their attorneys have to be serving and filing. And it's expensive. And to what end? They end up liquidating you anyways. They end up taking bigger losses. And how is that honorable? I mean, how is that to anybody's best interest? We all lost. At least that was my opinion. So when I talk about our debt forgiveness plan, the idea is to keep the business going, keep the jobs in line, and remove the debt. And we do it by liquidating the collateral to a new buyer. It's just that simple. It's a lot more complicated, but that's the general statement. And this new buyer starts up a new company, bought the collateral for pennies on the dollar, because that's all it's worth. And with it comes the goodwill and the clients and the vendors and the name and the address and the reputation and all the good stuff that allows them to make money, a going concern, if you will, but not profitable, not even in the black at all. So the bank gets beaten up hard, but look, that's the risk they take. I mean, that risk was there no matter what, but at least they spend less. And it's a lot easier for them, and we do all the work for them. And if there happens to be an SBA guarantee, they get that. And if there's a personal guarantee, we work through that for them. So we're kind of bailing them out of a lousy situation by making it easier to resolve and less expensive and more timely. And these are all important factors to a bank that has a huge portfolio, thousands of loans, thousands of defaulting loans, and they need to deal with them. They don't have to chase our clients. We give them all the tax returns and bank statements and appraisals that they could possibly want. We do their work. We do their job. And we help them get the most out of the situation that they can. Now, it's still a huge beat. There's no question about it. But they still get the most that is possible given this being a lousy situation. Well, what could be more honorable than that? Why is it so hard to accept? And what happens is our clients say, it's too good to be true. It's crazy talk. What are you talking about? Get rid of the debt, keep the business, no problem. Get rid of your personal guarantee on top of it for pennies on the dollar, no problem. Well, yeah, that's actually what we do. That is what we do. Very definitely. Honorable, there could be nothing more honorable. Saves the jobs, saves the business, saves everyone that's involved. Now, the vendors are going to take a big loss, no doubt. But, you know, they bought low, they sold high, and they took a certain risk. Hopefully not many of their clients go under. But those that do, they're going to lose. Because the vendor debt is unsecured. The vendor debt is just a promise to pay. It's not attached to anything. And when we empty out that original business corporation, there's nothing left to pay. There's no more assets. There's no more cash flow. There's nothing. So that's it. Now, there's a whole list of debts that usually flow underneath the bank's debt. So you might have landlords, you have vendors, as I mentioned, you could have lines of credit, you could have leases on equipment, you could have all kinds of things. Well, the interesting part about that is it's all sheltered by that first lien hold of the bank because the rule's simple. The bank gets everything before anybody underneath him gets anything. Bank gets paid in full before the next dollar goes to the next person in line. So anybody that's south of the bank, they're not going to get anything because, you know, the bank has a zillion. And they know that. So they're going to settle with us because they have no choice. There's nothing available for them. It's all gone. And in fact, that acts as a barrier, an umbrella, if you will, protecting the borrower from any assaults from lower priority obligations, because the higher priority obligation has got it all and is sheltering you. That actually works very well. Owner takebacks in particular. You know, they took $1 million at the table, you owed $400,000 more. They sit back waiting for you to get solid, and you don't get solid, and lo and behold, we don't pay them that $400,000. But you know what? They got the $1 million. They took the risk. They're second to the bank, and it's the way it is. So, yeah, we're transparent. And you know something? What I told this particular client is that it's not as if the bank has a choice. It's not as if we are asking them permission to do this. They don't have to agree. They don't even have an opinion. They have a collateral interest in the equipment, period, and the receivables and the inventory, the machinery, the vehicles. Yes. But if we want to shut the business down, if I wake up with a headache and I want to shut it down, then I can do that. If I wake up and say I can't support my debt, I want to shut it down, I can do that. In fact, I should. So it's not like the bank will say no. All the bank can say is whether or not we get adequate consideration for the collateral. Did they get paid what the collateral is worth? That's it. If they do, then they take it. If they're not getting adequate consideration for the collateral, then they have a right to say, no, I need $10,000, not $5,000 for this truck. But they don't get to say, I want $1 million for the loan. I mean, they can say it, but it doesn't mean anything because there's no obligation beyond what the collateral is worth, and that's all they're going to get. And since the bank is coming out short, no one else underneath them is coming out with anything. Because the first doesn't get paid in full, then nobody else gets anything. When there are personal guarantees involved, well, the same thing applies, because the bank always has a personal guarantee. So the same $500,000 you owe the bank business-wise, you own personally. So your personal guarantee signed to vendors, landlords, owner take-backs, etc., is also there, but worthless. Same reason, you're covered by your secured party personal guarantee. You can only be guaranteed once. So if the secured party guarantee is absorbs all your net worth, there's nothing else. Your guarantee is no longer worth anything. There's always a personal guarantee in a secured loan, and therefore no one else south of them ever gets anything in our workouts. Is it honorable? Yes, of course it is. It's the hard life of business. It's what takes place. There's no other option. In failure, we need to, you know, share the losses, whether we like it or not. And that, I think, is fair. That is what we should be doing, sharing the losses. You know, the bank's position is all for me, none for you. That's the bank's position. I get everything, you get nothing. And that's okay from their perspective, but I kind of take it another step and say, you know, we're all invested. We all took losses. Let's share them appropriately. And more than likely, the borrower took the biggest losses of all. His time, his energy, his investment, his dreams, his hopes, paycheck he didn't take for a year and a half, the credit cards he maxed out, and on it goes. So, yeah, the bank takes its loss. But that's what it's in business to assess. It underwrote the loan. It took the risk. So it has to live with that when it comes time. The investor, the entrepreneur, the small business owner, well, he took his risk too. And he's going to get beaten up as well in this. And that's the story there as well. So debt workout applies to every imaginable debt you can have, even to taxes. They too can be worked out. Anything can be worked out. You just need to understand the system and how to work it. And no, we're not doing anything that isn't really by the book. Look, we do business in all 50 states. We do it with every major banking chain in the country and bank in the country, a lot of regional and smaller ones, certainly with the SBA, Department of Justice, U.S. Treasury, IRS. I mean, we do it with all of them. And we get to go back again and again and again because we act impeccably. What we're saying is totally true. They all understand it and get it. And we serve a purpose. I often say, like, well, we're the janitors, man. We clean up the mess. And we do. And there's got to be a place for the janitor to do that job. Somebody's got to clean up the mess, and that's exactly what we do. We do it for the banks, less expensive, more timely, with better results. So we all win, at least to the degree that we can. So that's what I want to leave you with today, that the debt workout is honorable and appropriate and the way to go. You know, how many times do bankers, you know, complain to us privately, they don't get tax returns, they don't get accounts receivable, they don't get lists, they can't, you know, the borrowers hide, they don't return calls. I had one banker tell me that he literally has to go out in his car and slouch down in the seat and wait for the owner to come out of his business and then jump out and say, hey, Joe, what's the story? That's the only way I can get to talk to him, he says. And that's not the job I want to do. But, you know, they've got to follow their rules and they've got to do what's appropriate for their SBA guarantee. So this is what they got to go through. We make it easy for them because we're transparent. We give them everything they could possibly want plus more. And, in fact, what we also know is that, and much of our work is with the SBA, is that they want to get their guarantee. I mean, that's what's their driving force. And then preparing for the SBA guarantee is time-consuming, laborious, very detailed, lots of work to be done. Now, the big banks have it down pat. They do it over and over. The smaller banks don't, and they suffer through this. And we help them. We know what they want, and we give it to them. So they're in a better position to succeed. And that's what we should be doing. We should be respecting and helping our lenders succeed as they did us. And if we can figure out how to keep that business going, then God bless America. This is a wonderful thing. And the jobs, we keep them in line. Fantastic. And the families that are depending upon that income, awesome. Let's make it happen. So that's the story, so sure. But you know something? You know, I come to this point and I say, way, way too many of my clients come out of this and they end up, you know, maybe doing okay, maybe growing a little bit. But you know what? They don't succeed the way I would have envisioned them to. They're not killing it the way I want them to. And so I looked at that hard. And I asked, well, what's the problem? The strategy may take out the debt and the business should fly. How could it not? It's going concern. It's got its revenue, receivables, inventory. Take out the debt. It should free cash. Well, it does. But you know what? The issue is management. The issue is that the reason they got in trouble over cash and debt is because they weren't effective managers of their business. If they were, they would have managed their way through this issue by downsizing, adjusting, negotiating, doing their own workouts before it was massive, and being able to pay their loans. And the fact that they couldn't, even if we removed the debt, they still have the lack of skill necessary to succeed. Well, that's when, you know, we dropped the second shoe and we said, all right, we're going to fix that. And we did. We created our four-pillar system, wrote our textbook, and we share it with anybody and everybody. Embrace change. That's its name. And the point is simple. We'll show you how to succeed. After you do the debt workout, we will help you win by giving you the tools that you need. And then we found that, you know what? There's so many businesses that need capital, have to invest in inventory and payroll and all kinds of things. Capital is like gasoline for the engine. So that was the third stroke where we finally committed to going out and raising capital for clients, borrowing all kinds of private lenders out there that fill every niche imaginable. And we're beginning to meet them and talk to them and fund our clients. And there's money available. You just need to find the right parties, put them together. So that's it. That's what we do. And that's what I want to bring you today. The need to do your debt workout if you get jammed, but more importantly, to do the turnaround in order to manage more effectively. And if need be able to borrow capital so that you can feed the machine. All right, folks, that's my message today, just bringing you back to Earth, really, the whole purpose we exist, debt workout, and now four-pillar consulting, and, of course, capital formation. So we just put out a new website. In fact, it went live today. It's been a lot of work by my men here. It's really great. Pretty excited about it. Tells the story very clearly, very cleanly. I encourage you to go take a look at it, secondwindconsultants.com. Simple, clean, neat, works. All right, folks, that's it for the day. Hope to see you next week, and God bless. I wish you success. Bye now.